What if your marriage is toxic? What if it's kind of eating you alive, taking you away from the person you know you can be, because you're exhausting yourself with the everyday back and forth to the point where you can't get things done, dreams can't be made, goals can't be achieved, because it's sucking you dry and draining you emotionally? Well, that's what we're going to talk to you about today. What are the signs of a toxic marriage, and what should you do next? Let's go. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslim Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslim. I come to you every week. Now that Ramadan is over, we don't do Monday, Wednesday, Friday anymore. We just do Mondays and Fridays. That means we're going to get your week started. And we're going to help you wind down for the weekend and be as happy and productive as possible as a Muslimah in a modern day world. And as you know, what we do here is kind of help women go from just surviving everyday life to thriving as women of impact. Now, today we're going to hopefully get you from surviving your marriage into having a thriving marriage. Now, one of the things to do that is to make sure you can identify some kind of red flags of a toxic marriage. Now, hold on. If you're not married, don't go anywhere, because you're going to want to know these in case when you do get married, you'll know. Because what's happening for many women is they've already been married for a while and they don't know these signs. That is not where you want to be, right? But if you are there, I got you covered. We're going to tell you exactly how to notice if you have some of these signs in your marriage and next steps to do. Now, right before I start, I want to say that many of you know we don't just try to like give you information and leave you there. There's always resources on all of these things. At any point, if you want any help with marriage, whatever, like relationships, life balance, parenting, our website houses a ton of free downloadables, next steps, support systems, all that. www.mindful-muslimah.com, MUSLIMAH.com. Because our mission here is kind of to change narratives for women, empower women changing narratives. And so, alhamdulillah, what we're going to be doing today is thinking about the things that are toxic. Now, before I say that, I want to say a lot of times as women, we just don't take care of ourselves. We're so busy taking care of everyone else that we don't. And you know, there was just like this catch 22, like, oh, I'll just do all this stuff. And when I get a chance, I'll sit down and do this, right? But we never get to the me time, right? And I have been victim of that, you know, my own victim of my own self for years, right? Because I didn't actually, like, I'm a pretty healthy eater and I exercise and I do all that good stuff. But when it came to slowing down and taking time for me, relaxing, doing things that I enjoy, that had almost become non-existent. Once you're a mom, you'll know what I mean. But even if you're not a mom, if you're just working, career, busy, it's like, go, 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 right? And when I did that, I realized that I suffered in just more than self-care, because it showed up in everything I said, everything I did. My whole energy, my whole attitude wasn't what it should be because I wasn't taking that time. Now, many of us have just come off of Ramadan. Hopefully you have a bit of a spiritual high. That's great. But what you want to do is keep constant kind of connection with yourself, connection with Allah and momentum. Now, one or two things that we're doing to help women do this, because I want to tell you, a lot of women who just stop right here at Ramadan and then move on and, you know, try to go back to their daily life with their marriage, their kids, they usually have a bit of a downward spiral. So we already have that covered. A lot of you know, Aliyah Omarian, she came inside of our, we had her as a guest inside of Thrive Muslimah. And so what happens is we loved the book that she has out now, Power of the, a lot of you are asking me about, you know, can we maybe have a book club for that or whatnot? So we said yes. So if you haven't already, it starts in maybe a week and a half-ish. And we're going to be doing it again on Sundays, 11 a.m. So if you want to really connect with yourself, Allah, and then you want to be in a space where like other women have genuine conversation, it's not like a bunch of social media fakeness, then definitely make sure you're in the book club. It's 100% free. It is one of the most beloved things after the podcast that women tell me about, other than that or like the marriage course. We have a couple of things that are pretty popular. The book club is one of them, but this book in particular, whoop, it is a heartstring that like if you want some, you want to feel something, you feel a little numb, this will do it. The last thing I'll tell you is, in order to kind of help you take care of you, is a lot of us feel like morning routines suck, evening routines suck. We feel a little bit disorganized. We don't know where to start. So I'm going to have a free life balance solution session. Yes, so many of you have been requesting it, begging me to do something like this. And we finally made the time. I'm so excited. It's going to be the first week of May, but you have to register now. Again, 100% free. So I'm going to put the links below. They're also going to be in my link tree and my Instagram, but definitely jump on in. All right, let's dive into the toxic signs, like signs of a toxic marriage, because we want to make sure that you're aware and you can, you know, you can understand where you are. Now, the first one is lack of communication. And this is a big one. You know, when communication breaks down in a marriage, people don't talk. People don't go, you know, to each other when there's problems. They just go to their own corner. And what does this look like? It might look like your husband sitting on the couch scrolling his phone forever. Now, it doesn't mean that you have a bad marriage, because we all have husbands that do that. It just means if that's the norm and things are never handled without resolution, it can indicate toxicity in a marriage. And this could lead to resentment, distance between partners. You find you start sleeping together less, you stop laughing together, you know. And this is one sign that there could be a problem. Again, men are all on their phones these days. So it doesn't mean you have a toxic marriage just because your husband's on your phone. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying lack of communication. That could look like almost never speaking and you both being in your own corners doing your own thing. The second one is controlling behavior. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives men the right to have qawam over women and take care of women, there are many cultures where men get toxic with this one and, you know, borderline narcissistic. And so one partner exerting excessive control over the other. Now, hold up. There are rights of the husband, like, you know, for certain things you're supposed to say or ask him if it's okay or whatever. Those we can't, with the feminist attitude, we can't mix those, confuse those with excessive controlling behavior. So what could the difference look like? Like your husband not wanting you to go to a party that is maybe like lewd or haram, that's not excessive or controlling, okay? That's something where he's trying to hold the family together Islamically. But what excessive and controlling is, like, he doesn't want you to go out and take care of yourself, you know, maybe like, let's pretend you're a person who just wants to do simple things, like simple facials or something like that, and you can totally afford it. He can afford it. It's in a like halal environment, but he's just like, no, I don't want anybody to look at you. I don't want anybody to see you. I mean, he's allowed to have that healthy jealousy. So it's like these weird borderlines. But when he gets like crazy, like you can't talk to anyone else, you can't go anywhere, this, you have to stay home, it's all about me and you. Like that's not really healthy, because as a human, you need to be social. You're allowed to be social with other people. And so that's something you have to be careful, monitoring every minute, activities, restricting all the social interactions, making decisions with or without your input, 100%. And I'm going to keep bringing up the word like feminism, because you have to be really careful, because feminism has totally different rules than Islam. And I'm sorry, and I'm saying this as a Muslim, but also because like it's our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And at the end of the day, Islam is very, very pro-woman. But we have cultures where our Islamic men sometimes don't follow that, right? They just do their own random stuff and they act like it's all like good, but it's not. And this can lead to feelings of powerlessness and erosion of self-esteem. So when a lot of women come to me, because another thing that we have for free are consultation calls. A lot of you talk to me. We have 15-minute ones. Then we have like 45-minute ones for people who need more. And Women on Thrive, they all get free 30-minute ones. Every single sister is eligible for those every month with me. And many of you I talk to. Because sometimes we get to a point where we need to talk to somebody else about like, am I just crazy or is this like this? And then when you get that confirmation from somebody else, you're like, all right. Because sometimes our spouses will make us feel like there's something wrong with us or crazy when there's actually not. There might be an actual problem, right? And it's not that our men are bad. Our men are wonderful. It's just that some of them, they have these tendencies, right? So if you do need to speak to someone, please do. And you always can at www.mindful-muslima.com. We have consultation calls there. Now, another sign of toxic relationships are when you and your husband, well, let's go back and review a second. We said lack of communication, controlling behavior. And I was trying to clarify what that could be. Emotional or physical abuse. So listen, there's some men that do not beat their wives. There's a lot of men that don't beat their wives. You know, I'm just like, you know, that's not like beating is the norm. I'm just saying there's some men who have anger issues, control issues, and they do physical harm to other people, not just their wives. But that's just like Muslim, non-Muslim, doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, there's also emotional abuse. I have a lot of women tell me that they're not like hurt or touched or beaten, but the words being said to them are pretty volatile or rude or rough. And any form of abuse, whether it's emotional manipulation, verbal abuse, you know, it's highly toxic and damaging to a marriage. And let me tell you what it's more damaging to than just you. It's damaging to your kids. Your kids are taking silent notes on the way that they should allow spouses to treat them, right? For the girls, they're looking at like, oh, like my, I guess like when I grow up, men are going to just talk to me like that. And a lot of young women do not want to get married because of that. They've seen what happened to their mom or their cousin. And I want to let you know, ladies, just because that has happened in your family doesn't mean that will be your story. I'm going to say that again. It doesn't have to be your story. It will not be your story unless you let it. You know, people can only do to us what we let them. People can only do to us what we let them. And a lot of us are letting people do things to us, you know? But I never want you to underestimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ability to help you as an unmarried woman, as a married woman. In times of distress, turn to prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who listens and responds. And we're told that in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? And alhamdulillah, being a woman who is strong, empowered, unapologetically Muslim, looks like you understanding your deen and standing up when things don't feel right. Now, we understand men and we know that there's a way to approach them and a way not to approach them. So if you need help with that, let me know too, because you could have the best intention and the perfect argument, but if you deliver it the wrong way, he's not going to listen. There are very special ways that men listen. When we had made the course, the marriage boost course that we have, we tried to put it together to help women understand their femininity, how to use it, not in a manipulative way, but to their advantage, to understand how men listen. When you understand how a man listens, it's really easy to get him to listen to you. But a lot of women complain that their husbands don't listen. But when I take a closer look at how they convey what they want to say, it's usually done wrong. If I could just be frank, or not like wrong, but in a way that men will not be receptive to, let's say. So if you are struggling with communication, that could be why. But going back to emotional abuse, being told horrible things is really not just toxic. It's really just not like for yourself. It's for your kids as well. Number four, lack of trust. This is a really big one. You know, when I used to go and talk to the mashaykh, when I used to do a lot of work with, you know, different organizations or scholars, they said they often look for trust issues in marriages to determine whether or not it's salvageable. Because you have deep-seated trust issues, it can be really, really a rough marriage, right? And trust is an essential thing. Suspicion, jealousy, betrayal, it just erodes trust and creates a toxic atmosphere. And it just breeds insecurity and doubt constantly, right? It's really, really a bad thing. So that is another sign. Unwillingness to address problems. You know, you can only work with somebody if they're willing to work with you. It's like that whole saying, like, I could lead a horse to water, but I can't make them drink it. So at the end of the day, if my husband refuses to address the fact that he's got a, I don't know if there's ever kids in the room, so I want to say things to you guys, like a porn problem, or he doesn't want to address the fact that he has a problem talking to women, or he has a problem with anger, or he has a problem with not praying, which obviously he needs to do if he's married to you. You should be married to a man who doesn't pray, ladies. And I was going to say that right now. And there's a whole lot that the scholars will say about that. And this is not a marriage you can stay in. So like, you could look into more about that with a local imam, but that's a pretty serious thing. A lot of women don't realize how serious. Anyway, I digress. You know, but if he doesn't want to like address any of these problems, that's the bigger problem, right? That's the actual bigger problem, because ignoring and dismissing problems within a marriage rather than seeking solutions or compromise, it can be like perpetually toxic. This leads to unresolved issues festering and just causing further damage over time. So then you guys are fighting about stuff that has nothing to do with the real reason you're hurt, because there's this stuff that just never got resolved. And so this is really important. Okay, so what to do, what to do. I told you guys I was going to tell you some next steps. Well, the first thing is, I really, really suggest if you talk to somebody, because sometimes things are in your head and it feels whatever. And I told you, talk to a friend, talk to a family member. If you don't feel like you have that type of relationship, you can always talk to me. Okay. But at the end of the day, just put in the schedule and I'm there. www.mindful-melissa.com. We have some resources for healthy marriage on the website as well, but let me tell you some basic things you can do. Schedule regular check-ins to discuss feelings and concerns. Like my husband and I, we hang out with each other every night at 8 o'clock. We have a hot date. Kids got to go to bed. We need to sit next to each other. So mostly it's going to be like some relaxing time, but if I have a really big issue, I'll bring it up. Men always complain that we bring up everything when we go to sleep in bed because that's where like, oh, they can't go anywhere. That happens sometimes. Not the best thing to do all the time, but it is sometimes, you know, needed. Just practice active listening. We do this whole thing in the Marriage Boost course that we teach where we talk about bids. Oh my gosh, when I learned about bids, and I think I might have touched on this previous podcast, but when you understand how it is to have just to really pick up on things that are very small and slight. See, people think fixing your marriage requires time together, big getaways. It doesn't. Money, nope, it doesn't. And alhamdulillah, there are things you can do. You can also seek couples therapy. I know that doesn't work for everybody, but it is out there. Another one is controlling behavior. You need to establish boundaries, ladies. You can't allow people to do things to you. They're usually, mostly women come to me and I talk to them. Men are aware that you're weak. And you allow them to do certain things. And I'm not saying our women are weak. I'm saying some women are weak and they allow men to do that. So encourage like you respecting them, but them also respecting your personal boundaries. And again, seek counseling if this is something that is hard for you to do on your own. Emotional and physical abuse, well, prioritize safety above all else. Just consider professional help if you feel like he's not listening. You do not have to stay in a place where you feel unsafe or devalued on a regular basis, whether physically or mentally, and develop a safety plan and explore options if you need to leave an abusive relationship. I had a woman who just called me maybe a week ago with that same thing. She had to leave because he was having anger issues constantly. And, you know, while there's excuses for why he has those, like we can't be, you know, everybody's punching bag. That's just not how it works. That's not your job. Lack of trust. Honestly, this one's a tough one. You got to rebuild it gradually. You know, apologize if it was you, but again, if therapy you're able, and by the way, for our cultures that don't like therapy, you can also have an elder in the family. If it's your father, his father, trusted uncle, those actually work. And then you don't have to go public, you know, unwillingness to adjust problems. That's the hardest one, because if that perpetuates, that could lead to divorce. I'm just gonna be honest, because if you're meeting with somebody who never wants to change toxic behavior, then you either got to accept it or go. And that's just the decision you'll have to make. But acknowledge the importance of addressing problems if it's you, right? Take responsibility for anything you do. And then make it so that he has to too. And then create boundaries where if he doesn't, you're not okay with that, right? And again, seek support from an elder in the family or therapist. A lot of people start conversations with me. And then if I am at the level, because we do nasiha sessions. And then when I'm at the level, like I can't handle that for you because that's something an imam can only handle or a therapist, I will gladly pass you over to them. But if sometimes people just, you know, sisters just want to run it through someone else before they take it to the next level. And more than welcome, I already explained, we have it on the website, consultations, www.mindful-muslim.com. I want to throw this out here. It's some public knowledge for sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you to suffer. You do not have to be a martyr, okay? This is not it. And alhamdulillah, we are all trying to be better people. All of us have faults, ourselves, the men, all of us. But in times of distress, again, turn to prayer. Turn to people of trusted information. And alhamdulillah, just know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. He's listening to you all the time. Never underestimate the power of dua and its weapon for the believer. That's also told to us in Bukhari. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Definitely don't forget to join us for the book club. It's another great place to talk about your da'as getting answered. And if you want some balance in your life with schedules and all that good stuff, you can catch me in the Life Balance Solution session coming up. Both of them are starting very soon, so you're going to get registered down below or on Instagram. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.